You are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily Minnesota Timberwolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Hello and welcome to the Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. My name is Ben Beacon. I'm the host of Locked On Wolves. And today, as you're listening to this, is Thursday, the Thursday before Media Day. So we're within just a few days of actual news and then closely followed by training camp news and preseason games just about a week after that. So it's happening quickly. Today we're going to talk about the disgrace that is the ESPN Top 100 Players Ranking. This is a thing that happens every year. It used to be every player in the NBA, so it was upwards of 420 or so players, and it was ridiculous. It's now 100 players, and it's still ridiculous, and yet we're still going to talk about it. As much as I don't want to simply complain for the next 20 minutes, there is a lot to complain about if you're a Timberwolves fan. So we're going to talk about that. And like I said, they make the list just for this reason. ESPN wants fans to complain and get all up in arms and create conversation. And here we are. We're going to talk about it, and I'm going to play right into it. So, you know, it's the perfect time of year leading into training camp and getting ready for the season, you know, for this sort of conversation to happen. So at any rate, they have my attention. So we're going to go ahead and get into it. It was a little less than 2 weeks ago when Sports Illustrated released their top 100 list of players. We talked at length about that here on this podcast. There were four Timberwolves players on that list. And as mentioned, this week's ESPN list of top 100 players, that number was cut in half, and only two Timberwolves players made the ESPN list of the top 100 players in the NBA. I guess just a quick recap of the Sports Illustrated list before we get too deep into the ESPN one. The Timberwolves landed four players on that list, number 100. So the last player on the list was Andrew Wiggins. I talked on that podcast about how I would not rank him as the 100th best player in the league. I don't think Wiggins is in the top 100, but he actually fell from number 74 from 2 years ago on SI's list to 100, despite the fact his season 2 years ago was a little bit worse than his season last year. At any rate, he was at 100 for better or for worse. Jeff Teague was the other Timberwolf that made the SI list that's not on the ESPN list. He was number 87, according to Sports Illustrated, sliding down from number 58 a year ago after only playing in about half the team's games, just slightly over half of the Timberwolves games last year, and having the worst year of his career in pretty much no matter how you slice it last season. So he also did not make the ESPN list. It's really hard to complain about that. I don't think, you know, Teague, I guess he's probably a top 100 player if he's healthy. Although, you know, he's 31 now. So, you know, maybe it's tough to say coming off of last year, which was essentially a throwaway year for him. And now he's a year older and he's had more injuries. Wiggins, not complaining about him not being in the top 100. So my issues with this list is not related to the number of Timberwolves players on the list necessarily. Last year's edition, at least last year's SI edition, had Taj Gibson on it. For instance, he's not on the Timberwolves anymore. It's not necessarily the number of players, although it is a little bit alarming that they only have two guys in the top 100 in the league. But you also consider there's plenty of young players the Wolves will be relying on that you just can't put in the top 100. It'd be absurd to suggest Jarrett Culver's a top 100 player, but he's got a shot, you know, if he's got a strong rookie season or if he has a strong rookie season. You know, there is just a lot of depth of decent players, of good role players outside of Towns, but there just isn't any additional star power. Not that every player in the top 100 is a star necessarily. That's one way to look at it is in terms of top flight players or second tier players. The Wolves don't have many. So outside of Towns, who obviously is going to be in the top 100, the other Timberwolves player you've probably figured out by now is Robert Covington. On Sports Illustrated's list, Covington ranked number 64, which seemed about right, and that was down from 48 on the previous year's list with Sports Illustrated. Hard to argue with that ranking. Seems right to me. He's also a hard player to predict, given his you know, he only played in I don't have it in front of me, but roughly 30, 35 games last season total between Philadelphia and Minnesota. However, on ESPN's list, Rocco came in at number 97. He was a top 50 player in last year's list. He was in the 40s, I think, on last year's ESPN list. He was in the 40s on last year's SI list, number 64 on this year's SI list. ESPN dropped him to number 97. it's pretty crazy. Given how much Covington's defense was lauded last season before his injury, and the purpose of this ranking is to rank where the player stands now heading into the season. And while we don't know exactly how healthy Covington is, all indications point to him starting the year in the starting lineup. He has led all small forwards in ESPN's real plus minus statistic, which is widely considered as a really good version of a plus minus, you know, that factors in overall team, the units that each player plays with, instead of trying to estimate individual impact based on a team wide metric. He led all small forwards in that metric in the 17-18 season and 16-17, was up there last year until his injury. He was third 4 years ago in the 15-16 season. He's pretty consistently the top ranked small forward when it comes to defense on ESPN's own advanced metric, and he's no slouch offensively either. He more than holds his own with the high volume of threes that he shoots. It's pretty much all he does, and he's only a little better than a league average 3-point shooter, but he's still a valuable offensive player. He's a plus on that end of the floor if playing alongside the right stars, and he's absolutely one of the league's best defenders on defense. So unless ESPN is projecting that his knee issue could make him a slightly, you know, a less than top of the line defender, I mean, I guess that's fair, but it's really hard to just assume that that's the case when the guy's been one of the best five wing defenders in the league for the last four seasons. So at any rate, ESPN ranks him at number 97. I'm not going to go through every player ahead of him that I would have ranked behind him, because there's plenty. Again, I think that ranking in the 50s or 60s is probably about right. 97 is far too low for a guy who's that good of a defender. Next up is Karl-Anthony Towns, but first, a note from our friends at DoorDash. Are you in the middle of a long day at work or still stuck at the office? Treat yourself to the meal you deserve and have your favorite restaurants come to you with DoorDash. Right now, our listeners can get $5 off their first order of $15 or more when you download the DoorDash app and enter promo code LOCKEDON. That's $5 off your first order of $15 or more when you download the DoorDash app and enter the promo code LOCKEDON. There's not really any debate that Karl-Anthony Towns is a top, 20, 25 player in the league. If you just said that casually to any NBA fan, they would likely, that would sound about right to them. He's made the All-Star team each of the last 2 years, which I guess, you know, gives you roughly the best 24 players in the league. He was an All-NBA third teamer 2 years ago, missed out last year to Rudy Gobert and among others, and cost himself a few tens of millions of dollars on his max deal. And yeah, I mean, it's not really that controversial. So when Sports Illustrated ranked him as a number 13 player in the league on their list, that felt about right. We said as much on this show. You could play around with the exact number. They had him one spot ahead of Rudy Gobert. You know, you could argue Gobert's defensive impact outweighs Towns on offense. I think that's about right, where they had him at 13. It'd be hard to put him a whole lot higher than that if you look at some of those names ahead of him. So again, that seemed right. Hard to argue too much. Now, ESPN's list, on the other hand, has him ranked at number 18 in the league, five spots lower than Sports Illustrated. And, you know, on its face, it doesn't sound crazy. I mean, that still puts him in the range of being an all-star. But when you look at some of the guys who are ranked ahead of him on the list, man, it really starts to stink a little bit that they have him at 18. The ones that stuck out the most to me, and I'll list guys who were ranked behind Towns on SI's list and ahead of him on ESPN's. And that's not the end all be all. There's a few guys who, you know, were the reverse. And like, for instance, Jimmy Butler was number 11 on Sports Illustrated's list, which I think I said on the last podcast when we talked about their list, that seems right. Also, that ESPN has a number 21, 10 spots lower. So that doesn't make a whole lot of sense either. But some of the guys ranked ahead of Towns, and also in this scenario, I guess, ranked ahead of Butler, include Kemba Walker, who's number 20 on SI's list and ranked ahead of Towns on ESPN's list. Luka Doncic, Ben Simmons, Rudy Gobert, and CJ McCollum. I don't have a problem with putting Simmons and Gobert in the same neighborhood, the same tier as Towns, maybe even slightly ahead of him. I would say more so Gobert than Simmons. McCollum, also not great. You know, but you can make the argument. The two that bothered me the most were Kemba Walker and Luka Doncic. Sports Illustrated had Walker at number 20, and again, Towns at 13, and Luka Doncic at number 30 on SI's list, and Doncic clocked in at number 16 on ESPN's list. I guess we'll start with Kemba. The Doncic thing, I still can't quite wrap my mind around it, but we'll start with Kemba. Let me be very clear. Kemba Walker is a consistently underrated NBA player. He played in a market that doesn't get a lot of love. He played for teams that were very mediocre, which I guess is a really nice way of putting that, and they're going to be just awful this year with him no longer on the team. But Kemba did a lot of work taking a bad team and making them a respectable team in the sense that they would win, mid to upper 30s in games, maybe over 40. They made the playoffs twice in his eight seasons there. And Kemba Walker didn't make the All-Star team until his sixth year in the league. And he made it each of the last 3 years. He should have made it a year earlier. Was consistently overshadowed by, guys like, for instance, Kyrie Irving, who was a little bit flashier, played with LeBron, played in Boston most recently, and, just got a little bit more love than Kemba Walker. And I don't know that he's that much better than Kemba Walker. That's a whole nother conversation. But Kemba just kind of got the short end of the stick, didn't get enough love nationally in terms of just how good he is and how effective of a point guard he is. But again, three-time All-Star, now is with the Boston Celtics. Clearly a good player. I'm not disputing that. And obviously, hopefully my little rant about Kemba or my I guess elevator pitch for him, it comes through that I think he's a really good player. However, in no world is he a better player than Karl-Anthony Towns. You just can't make that argument. And these arguments, by nature, they're flawed. We can't really evaluate a player in a vacuum, but I'm about to do it. And I think it's fairly clear cut. So if we're going to play this exercise or play along with this exercise, when it comes to ranking players against each other, essentially in a vacuum, I mean, here we go. Kemba Walker, over eight seasons, played in just 11 playoff games. That's two postseason appearances, and hasn't made the playoffs in 3 years with Charlotte. It was spring of 2016 when Kemba Walker and the Hornets last made the playoffs. Compare that to Towns, who's made the playoffs once in 4 years, played in four games, played in five games against the Rockets. Sure, that's the Jimmy Butler year. So if you want to throw that out, he's made the playoffs zero times in 3 years, which isn't exactly off pace of twice in 8 years. And if they make the playoffs this year, it's right on pace with that. So not really a difference there. So if you want to be old school and say, well, to be considered a top whatever player, you have to bring your team to the playoffs. Towns hasn't done that. Sure. Well, Kemba hasn't done it consistently either. And again, not necessarily saying it's Kemba's fault. Just if you want to use that argument to denigrate somebody like Towns, you have to use that same argument for Kemba Walker. We can look at shooting splits. Kemba Walker's a career 41.8% shooter. Towns 53.7%. That's 12%, 11.9% higher for his career. Actually, 12.9% higher for his career. He's a better three-point shooter, 35.7% for Kemba Walker, very average, to 39.2% for Towns, and over 40% each of the last two seasons. Their free throw percentages are nearly identical, within a tenth of a percent. If you want to shrink it down to the last couple, or say the last four seasons since Towns has been in the league, as Kemba's got twice as many years in the league, the only thing that Kemba bests Towns in is free throw percentage, and only by about a percent and a half. So Towns is still the better shooter. Granted, he's shooting closer to the rim, usually, but I mean, all things considered, those shooting percentages are still better. And that matters. So his triple slash line is significantly better. One of the reasons ESPN gave for ranking Towns where they did, Kurt Goldsberry, who generally is a good analyst, and I've enjoyed his work over the years, even prior to him being at ESPN, he wrote at Grantland for a while. He cites the Wolves as a team ranking 24th on defense last year, and I think something like 27th the year before. Charlotte's defense last year was number 22. It was two spots better. And say, I guess what you want about the effect of a point guard versus a big man on defenses in today's NBA, I guess. But either way, that's an extremely flawed way to look at this. And I guess really it's absurd. So if you want to look at team defenses, there isn't much of a difference there. ESPN's defensive real plus minus, which I referenced earlier with Covington, who has led the league essentially for through the last 4 years in defensive RPM. Walker was 82nd among point guards, had a minus 1.45, which essentially means adjusting for a number of other factors. That was the impact that Walker had on his team's defense. Towns had a positive impact of 0.84. It is important to point out that big men tend to be rated, that particular metric paints big men in a better light than guards. And he was 52nd out of 70 centers, but his overall real plus minus was still a 3.86, much better than Walker's 2.76. Win shares aren't even close. Towns' career win shares per 48 minutes, which I'm not going to go into the whole definition, but I'm using basketballreference.com for this particular metric. It's basically an all-encompassing stat that is certainly flawed, as any one stat would be if used in a vacuum. But his career win shares per 48 is a 196 or 0.196. Walker's best season is a 0.165, and that was 3 years ago. And his career mark is a 0.113, which is just a little bit above starter level, replacement level, in the NBA. If you're going by the breakdown that's offered by Basketball Reference, whereas Towns is right in the neighborhood of an all-star, knocking on the door of MVP type candidacy. If you're using that metric, so any one statistic can paint that picture. But if they're all telling you the same thing, then that it's going to, you know, it means something. If everything points in the same direction, there's really no arguing that Kemba Walker is a better player than Karl Anthony Towns. Might he fit better on a certain roster than Towns? Sure. You could make that argument. And Walker's in the middle of his prime, towards the back end of his prime almost. I think he's 29 this year. Towns is not. I mean, he's 5 years younger. He's only been in the league for four seasons, and that matters too. So heading into this season, to suggest that Kemba Walker's a higher or should be a higher ranked player is concerning. I really struggle with how that conclusion was reached. But I guess to summarize, Karl Anthony Towns is a better player than Kemba Walker. Kemba Walker's a fine player. He's an all-star. I get that. But ranking him ahead of Karl Anthony Towns is completely absurd. The other player I want to talk about today who got ranked ahead of Karl Anthony Towns in the ESPN ranking is Luka Doncic, who, you know, fine rookie player, won the Rookie of the Year. Obviously, he's a good player. Again, similar to Kemba. I mean, I think Kemba's a better player, but similar to the Kemba conversation, I don't think that Luka Doncic is a bad player. I want to be very clear. Sports Illustrated had him ranked 30, and I still think that's too high for him based on where he's at right now. There's clearly some projection going on that the guy who started last season as a 19-year-old and was still very good, a very solid NBA player, is going to be a lot better a year later. I think that that's completely fair. There's also the thought that he'll be in better shape this year, heading into the season, his second NBA season. That's also fair. But to suggest that coming into the year, he is suddenly the 16th best player in the league and better than Karl Anthony Towns and Jimmy Butler, for that matter, is crazy. It's crazy. I mean, he shot under 43% last year from the field, under 33% from three. He only shot free throws at a 71% clip. He certainly is a triple-double threat consistently. He averaged a ton of points, rebounds, and assists, and I get that. He's a good player. You know, ESPN Real Plus Minus, he's 75th out of 94 small forwards is what they had him listed at for some reason in ESPN, but ranking 75th out of 94, that's not great. Overall, as a player, he's a really good player for a 20-year-old, and that's certainly true. But I already rambled off all of Karl Anthony Towns' credentials for being a top, you know, call it top 15 player in the league, and they're far more impressive than 1 year of Luka Doncic. And here's the other thing, is a lot of the folks who would likely, and this is admittedly bordering on straw man territory, but a lot of the folks who would call Doncic a top, you know, call him 16th best player in the league, would also look at him in an old school context and say, well, you know, he's just a really good player. He's going to lead his team, et cetera, et cetera. Well, they won 33 games last year. And, granted, he's a 19-year-old rookie. I get that. But 33 wins. The Timberwolves, with all the Butler turmoil, et cetera, won 36 games, led by Towns. Doncic only missed 10 games throughout last season, which, you know, isn't insignificant, I guess. So we'll see what happens this year with him from an injury standpoint and from the ability to stay on the court. But until the Mavs win, and or until Luka Doncic shoots the ball a little better from the floor, is more consistent on defense, crowning him the 16th best player in the league is just out there. And even 30, I struggle with that a little bit, which is where Sports Illustrated had him. But at any rate, it's impossible for me to see how he should be considered the 16th best player in the league and better than Karl-Anthony Towns, Jimmy Butler, and I could list plenty of other guys that he should not be ranking ahead of. But that's where we're at. That's where ESPN has him. And I guess that's they got their conversation starter. And I'd like to think I'm not the only one that thinks that that's crazy. But at any rate, so next up for us, we still have to finish off our over under preview, of the league. We've got two divisions to go in the Western Conference, including the Northwest Division. Myself and, my good friend Kyle Darty are going to go through those win totals and analyze each team, spend 5 or so minutes on each team and whether or not they should be over or under their Las Vegas win total. If you have missed any of those, go back and listen to those podcasts. They're each about 25 minutes or so, and take a listen to our advice on whether or not a team will go over and under. It's a really fun exercise, and it kind of gives us a quick snapshot of every team in the league. So if you want to catch up on that quickly, please do. As mentioned earlier at the top of the show, the Timberwolves Media Day is on Monday the 30th, and training camp opens on Tuesday the 1st down in Mankato. So there will be plenty of Timberwolves.com does a great job of covering that, from an event standpoint, getting lots of player content and reporting on practice. So we'll definitely pass it along here with any analysis based on potential lineups or, you know, different things that the coaching staff, which is largely turned over under Ryan Saunders, anything that they've dictated to the team in training camp that may be different than previous seasons. So we'll definitely be on top of that for you and pass along any pertinent details there too. In the meantime, that's all we have for today's show. Thanks once again for listening to the Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Remember, the Locked On Network is your local experts on the biggest stories. Once again, I'm Ben Beacon. This is the Locked On Wolves podcast, and we'll catch you next time.